have been mourning since Tuesday evening. On Tuesday night, some of our community gathered here to watch the election results. They brought their children here so they could remember an important moment in history, especially for little girls. People brought food, hoping to celebrate together. But as the results started to be reported, the mood changed. The room grew quiet. And then we heard the wailing, the weeping. There would be no cheers, no toasts. There was nothing to celebrate, and one by one we left this place brokenhearted, in shock. When I got home, I embraced my 86-year-old mother who had proudly voted with me, first time for both of us. We watched the news in silence except for the occasional sigh and in Spanish, Dios mío, Dios mío, Dios mío. How could this be happening? Maybe, we said, maybe there is still hope. All the votes have not been counted. Maybe, we thought, in the morning there would be good news. But in the morning, we realized that the nightmare was very real and would stay for us for the next 4 years. Before coming to church, I knocked on my neighbor's door to give him a hug, and I saw the pain in his eyes. I knew then that we needed to gather together to mourn as a community. And so I sent out an announcement letting people know that we would be opening this church for a candlelight vigil on Wednesday beginning at 5 p.m. I had no agenda. I had no idea for a program. I was not even sure if anyone would show up. And I had one person from this community who called me up to ask if I needed a volunteer chaplain. If I would be willing, on the phone, to provide a very mini training to prepare her to minister to our congregation that evening. I said I didn't have any training curriculum and I had never taught anyone how to be a chaplain, but proceeded to share some of the lessons that I learned while working as a chaplain in the hospital emergency room. And so in less than 10 minutes, I had an ally. I wasn't alone. Someone gave me strength and reaffirmed that opening up this church to gather both friends and people from the larger community was not only the right thing to do, it was necessary. It was urgent. And so that evening, slowly, the people began to arrive, carrying deep sadness, looking for a place to bring their broken hearts, yearning to be in a safe space. And we lit candles and we sang, there is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more love right here. And we sang, we're gonna keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward, never turning back, never turning back. And we confess to each other, We confess feeling guilty for not doing enough. We confess being so hard on ourselves, blaming ourselves for not being able to see what was coming. And we sang in unison the litany. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. And we shared our feelings, our disbelief, our anger, our hopelessness, our tears, and our fears. And we prayed and we asked, why and what now? As a chaplain, one of the first lessons you learn when accompanying someone who has just experienced a loss is not to offer the platitudes of everything will be all right, you have weathered worse storms before, or to diminish their pain by saying things like, there are people far worse off than you, so move on. We listen to all the feelings. We validate all the feelings. And when they ask why, as chaplains, how do we respond when they ask, why did this have to happen to me? We offer that we may never know exactly why, but that now it is important to seek support, to receive love and kindness, in order to be able to figure out not the why, but the how. How are we going to face the next day, the next hour, the next breath? The most important thing to do as a chaplain is to make sure people who are grieving are not alone. So on Wednesday night, we breathed together as we sang, when I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When you are grieving, just breathing takes up all your energy. Wednesday was a reaffirmation of why we are here, of our UU principles, of why we light this chalice, this beacon of hope, week after week, of why we reach out to the larger community and proclaim with our hearts that Black lives matter, that no human being is illegal, that sexism and homophobia have no place in our hearts, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in this church. Wednesday night, we had Catholics, atheists, Muslims, interfaith, Christian, undecided, Christian scientists from down the road here answering the call of love. And I shared with everyone the story of my friend, colleague, Latina, UU minister, living with cerebral palsy, Teresa Soto, whose act of resistance during General Assembly a couple of years ago was to hold a standing on the side of love sign with the word standing scratched out. And she scribbled, sitting on the side of love. She held it up and I took her picture as she proudly presented it from her scooter. She then engaged tirelessly in conversation since then with various people in our denomination to bring them to the awareness of how exclusionary and ableist our own language is. Our hymnals are filled with ableist language that, for the most part, we ignore. Because if we were to remove all the ableist language, all the patriarchal language, we'd have no hymns to sing, right? Well, I share this story because it's a sign of hope that things can change, that we can transform the world, that we can change the course of history, beginning with ourselves. The result of Teresa's resistance from that little sign and from the conversations she had with our leadership was that the author of that hymn changed the lyrics. It changed the lyrics from standing on the side of love to answering the call of love. Amen. That is cause for celebration. That is a grain of hope. That is a light shining in these times that seem so hopeless. I share this story because I want to reaffirm the value of resistance. No matter what shape it takes, you are good enough, you are doing enough. Even when you're sitting quietly, just breathing in and breathing out. I share this story because I wanted to share a bit of good news that might rekindle our small dim lights. Because we need some good news in the midst of so much devastation. Amen. Because the voice of one courageous woman changed more than just a lyric. It changed our level of awareness about ableism, including in our own sanctuaries and UU General Assemblies. It changed our UU history. Beloveds, how shall we answer the call of love? How shall we resist in the face of rampant racism, homophobia, hatred towards immigrants? How shall we prepare ourselves for the next 4 years? How shall we as a community of faith gather together to reaffirm our commitment to social justice, to environmental justice? How shall we honor and live into our mission? Even before the inauguration ceremony, we are beginning to experience living in a country gripped by fear, under siege, reminiscent for me of the dictatorship that I escaped from because I am a refugee, because I am an immigrant. I see my ministry so clearly now. I know why I ended up in Hayward, California now. I see my presence and my calling to serve this community, your community, so clearly now. I understand my role as a social justice minister as a way to resist together, our way to resist and continue building the beloved community as others prepare to continue building a wall. Amen? I am here to answer the call of love with you. I am here to share a journey towards wholeness and spiritual awakening with you. I am here to share your joys and sorrows and dreams. I am here to pray with you, to hold hope for you when you can't hold it by yourself. I am here to bear witness with you to all the suffering in our broken world, and I am here to rise up with you, amen? Amen. To resist with you, amen? Amen? To build with you, amen? Amen? I am here, and I see you. I am here, and I love you. I am yours. In spirit, and you are mine. Together we will rewrite history. Together we will seek new ways of affirming our own worth and dignity and that of the marginalized and vulnerable in our communities. Amen? Amen. Beloveds, the path is hard. The path is unclear and filled with obstacles, and at times, we will get tired and lonely. But take heart because you are not alone. Take heart because together we have a shared ministry here. Together we are beacons of hope here. Together we will continue to resist just like you resisted the Vietnam War. Amen? Just like you resisted and continue to resist Jim Crow. Amen? Just like you resisted and continue to resist homophobia. Amen?
Amen?
Together we will make this church a true sanctuary, a place of solidarity, of unconditional love, of courage under fire, of strength and real change. Amen?
Amen.
Beloveds, we are being called to reconstruct hope, to reconstruct women's rights, to reconstruct our own UU faith and our sense of belonging to this great country. Today, immediately following the service, we are being called to gather together for our startup workshop. Now more than ever, it is necessary that we unite and together articulate our future, the how. This is where we're gonna figure out the how together. We need one another and everyone is important, so please, please stay. Help us to shape our future. Help us to clarify our roles, articulate our dreams and aspirations. Help us to ask the hard questions. And most importantly, help us to reaffirm that we will continue in the struggle, that we believe in freedom and we will not rest, that we will not be silenced. Amen?
Amen.
We need you, every single one of you, to resist and build bridges instead of walls. Amen?
Amen?
We need us now more than ever to live into our best selves and love the hell out of this world. Amen?
Amen.
Because we are the ones we've been waiting for. Amen. And blessed be. Ran a little bit long. That's what happens when you let the spirit move you, right? That's a very you thing to do. It will become a very you thing to do right here from this pulpit. In the interest of time, let me offer you my benediction, which is an edited Facebook post of mine. Please. Stand as you're willing and able. Reach across the aisles and hold someone's hand in a loving and respectful way. Transmit your love and compassion. Beloveds, in this hour of disbelief and fear, let us recommit to our struggle for social justice. Let us reaffirm our faith that another, more just and loving world is possible together. Let us bring our broken hearts to the altar of this, our beloved community, where we will rekindle our passion and keep moving forward together. Let us march, let us organize, let us recreate and reimagine hope together. Let us breathe life into the places that have been trampled and filled with fear. Together, let us speak up with a voice that refuses to be silenced. Together, let us answer the call of love. I love you. You are not alone. Go in peace. Return in love. Amen. Blessed be.